Greetings, Jesus' name. I welcome each one here to this part of the service. And so I was just thinking about us coming here this morning. It crossed my mind that we all, because of the maybe what we have going on in our life or the locations that we live, that there's different amount of energy that goes into making it possible for us to be here. And so to me, that just shows a desire and an importance that we see in coming together to be taught by God, to worship the Lord together. I'd like to stand together and we'll just have a time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we stand before you this morning again with thanksgiving. We thank you for the many blessings that we have. We thank you for the things that we've been taught here this morning already. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to just keep a hold of those things and to apply them to each one of our lives, Lord. I do pray, Lord, that you would be with those that are not here with us this morning, that are traveling or at other places or at home. We lift each one up to you and just pray, Lord, that you would bless them. Lord, we pray for each one here. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts that can receive. I pray, Lord, that you would give me the ability to share things in a way, Lord, that would that we could receive them, Lord. We just want your will to be done in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I recently got a phone call from a man that was looking to change his life. And it was, that phone call ended up being a real blessing. But when I stopped and pondered the way that call came in, I realized I almost lost a blessing. The voice that came across the phone called and said, "Thank you for supporting us." And he was representing Team Challenge. And at one point, I had given something there. And I was busy at the moment when this phone call came through. And I said, "You're welcome," or something. And then I was about ready to hang up, and I don't know why I did. I asked, it's like, "So, how's things going anyway?" And he proceeded to say that he found Team Challenge and that he was only there for 2 weeks. And so I said, "So, I'm assuming you're working there and helping, trying to make a difference in this place." And he said, "No, actually, he's there because he needs help." And so I asked some more questions. I asked him if he had a family, and he said, "Yes, he has an ex-wife, and he has a couple children, and he has a vision for his life to get his life back together and to be reunited to his family." And I was very blessed by the man's honesty and his desire. And what I noticed is he recognized where he was. And he recognized the things that needed to change in his life. And he wasn't bashful about that. He was doing what he was told to do, and his job at the moment was to call the people and to share appreciation for the support that they were getting. And we ended up having a time of prayer there, and I was just really blessed by that phone call. But I realize how closely I almost walked away from an opportunity to bless and to encourage someone. And in return, I was encouraged. So the title of my message this morning is Taking Inventory. When we take inventory, and if we're familiar with business and work, in especially this time of year, many businesses take time and they do inventory. They in some cases they even close their place of business and they start going through all the things that they have and they start counting. They look at stuff that they are using or not using and maybe do away with things, and they look at their computers and their files and they correct things and make them as accurate as they see the importance of being accurate, I guess. In some cases, maybe we don't really care. But in other cases, it matters a lot. And some of the reasons for doing these things is, for one, our government wants their tax dollar. And so we need to understand what our profitability was. For another reason, it's important for us to know that we're being profitable as a business. And for another reason is we need to know what we have so we can sell those goods. I'm assuming that we have been at a place of business and we were looking for some product of some sort, and the man behind the counter looks at his computer and he says, "Well, my computer tells me I have it. Let me go out in the warehouse and make sure it's there." I'm assuming that we probably experienced that. And what we hear being said there is the computer tells him something, but he doesn't totally trust his computer. And so therefore he needs to go physically check his inventory. So reasons for businesses to do inventory is they want to be up at a place where they can trust their computers and their inventory sheets. And so when the question comes up, they know the answer. And so we see the benefit of, on a business side, for what taking inventory does. And when we go down the road of taking inventory on the physical side, we expect to find things that are not in order. And we expect to be prepared to do what it takes to make those adjustments. That's something that we expect. We realize that things there's human error and things break or disappear, or maybe they're stolen, and we make correction. If we take inventory and we realize that things aren't adding up, and that the count that I have in what my physical sheet or my computer tells me, and we say, "Oh wow, this is much worse than I thought. This is going to be a lot of work." Let's just continue as we were. It was working before. it should continue to work. Bad decision. Things quickly start going downhill, and I believe we understand that. So if it's important to do physical inventory in our lives of as business or even in our homes at times, how much more is it important for us to do that in our spiritual lives? Our walk with Jesus. How much more important is that? You turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Just want to read a couple of verses here that talks about some of these things. And as we walk through this message, we're going to, if we listen, if we take these things in, and we start looking at our lives, we're going to possibly come to a place where we see some things that don't exactly add up. And then we have decisions to make. What we're going to do with the balance sheet. Are we going to reconcile it? Are we going to make the necessary changes in our lives so it is accurate? Or are we going to say, wow, that's pretty deep. That's going to cost me a lot of time. I'd rather not deal with it today. Or are we going to say, I want this right. I'm going to do what it takes. I believe that if we're listening this morning, God, if there are things, God shows them to us and He gives us an opportunity to reconcile these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate? But I trust that you shall know that you are not reprobate. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord has given me to edification and not destruction. We see here this passage was written in love, and the encouragement was to examine that they might be doing well, and that he wouldn't have to come back with harsh words. And so we see the encouragement here. In Psalms 139, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. We see David's heart here, and we see the heart of David here, inviting God to search his heart, to know him. He asked him to try me and know my thoughts. that is going pretty deep there in 2 Corinthians here. Paul's heart was that they would examine themselves because he wanted them to do well. So if we want to go down these roads, if you turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, we want to take inventory. Obviously, there's some things that has to be in place, or we have to believe, and that is having faith. Verse 13, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. The challenge to believe. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and following, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What do we see here in this passage? We see a faith with a relationship, a connection, a desire to serve and to please. Not just someone that is putting in time. I don't remember what was being shared, but it just crossed my mind this morning that in our world there's many people that go to work and they put their time into their work. And then there's also many people that do the same thing. They go to work, but they give themselves to their work. They're there to make a difference. They're not just there to put time in. Some go to put time in to make themselves look good, and others go to serve and to make a difference. And I believe that's the what we're talking about here is a relationship with God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. A reminder here of the faith that is needed, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Going after God. When we're going down these roads of taking inventory of our lives and seeking to have things right, we don't only go down these roads and go through the process of making it look good, but we want God's input and his process to work out in our lives. When we think about the process and the reason that we should go, why we go through this. As the store goes through the process of taking inventory, one of their reasons is that as a storefront or as a business, they want the effects of that to be so that they can be a more effective business, more productive. And as God's children, when we go through this process and invite God to show us, to change us, is the heart of that is so that we can be more effective for His kingdom, that our relationship can be strong, that we can know for sure that when the trials come, that we are secure in Christ. And again, as I said earlier, as we go through this process, as we look into our lives, and I felt like these things were mentioned this morning already, is we take inventory. We can expect that God is going to show us things that we need to deal with, and then are we prepared? Are we committed? Are we committed to deal with the truth of this process? In Matthew chapter 6, some of the things that as we look at our relationship, look at how we're living, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 tells us here, encourages us here to put God first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Putting God first. I felt like our children's lesson spoke into that this morning. We see what happens if we that illustration of when we put the things that aren't so important, when we put those things first, our day fills up. Our time gets away from us. The opportunity that we have, that phone call that comes in, and we have a decision to make. And sometimes we don't even realize what the decision is, what that looks like. But I think if we listen, if we're paying attention, and we're taking inventory of our lives, and the challenge, I guess, that I would like for us to do is not to do what so many businesses do. They do it once a year because, well, we really need to do this. And too often, that's what we as people do with God. We finally come to a place, as this man that I talked to, he finally realized he needed to take inventory, and he realized things weren't adding up, and that there was big, huge challenges ahead of him. Let's not do that, but rather let's take the encouragement of examining ourselves and seeing where we're at on a regular basis, and quickly dealing with those things, and then it just becomes a normal process in our life. We do something and we realize God is showing us, and we deal with it. We repent. We take the necessary steps to fix and change those things. And so that jar that was presented to us is filled with the things of God, because we do the important things. And then the things that are not so important fill in afterwards. So if we neglect to do those important things, our day fills up. And it's like, well, now we don't know how to do it. Or there's no time. Or we don't have the courage to, because we put it off too long. In Romans chapter 12, talks about renewing our minds. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I see intentional taking our thoughts intentionally in a direction towards God. That we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hearing God's word in Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Hearing God's word, letting it connect with our lives. And then in James chapter 4 talks about resisting the devil. James 4 verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. These are things in our lives that I believe God, that we need to, if we want our lives to be full, these are things that we can expect, that we need to be taking part in. As things come against us, Satan is out to destroy. His desire is to devour, to destroy our lives. And are we prepared to resist? Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1. Talks about temptation. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. To run with patience. I see a people here with a vision. It's really encouraging to hear people with passion to talk about their vision, especially when they realize they haven't been where they should have been and are wanting to go somewhere else. And what does our vision look like? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, going down to verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Becoming honorable vessels gives us a really good example here of the process that needs to take place. Prepared unto every good work. And verse 22 here stood out to me. I believe it's a familiar verse for us, but that word flee. And do we know how to do that? Do we understand what that means? Or do we just feel like when these things come that we feel like just giving up? But when we look at fleeing, it's running away from something because of danger. And it looks like a lot of energy goes into that. And the call is to flee also youthful lusts. But then it follows up with, but follow righteousness and faith and charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. These are things that we're called to do. And as we look down through, are these things, are we being active in these areas in our lives? Do we find ourselves, as we look at putting God first, renewing our minds, hearing God's word, resisting the devil, refusing to give in to temptation, striving to be honorable vessels, fleeing youthful lusts, the things that please for a moment, as we look at this list, we take inventory, take stock of our lives. What's happening? Is it adding up? Or are we failing to do these things? As we take this worksheet and we take stock and we write down the things that we see in our lives, what are the results of this process? What areas do we see that need to change? So we face these things in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus tells us what we should do. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In Psalms chapter 30, verse 2, we see David's testimony here. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. That's what I see here in Matthew. The call is, as we recognize things in our lives, as we see God wanting to change our vessels, to make us more profitable, that a call to heal. He wants to heal us. He wants to lighten our burden. We look at Luke chapter 5, and I was looking at different verses in this, and it's talking about those that were sick, and we see Jesus healing people, and we see that we go down to verse 12, that I think that always when it seems like they recognized they had a need. And we look here in verse 12, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. So here, this man saw Jesus, and he asked to be healed. And I believe, as God, as we become aware of things in our lives, as God shows us, we can try to go down the roads and deal with it ourselves. And I think if we turn to John chapter 5, it's going to look a little bit like it did in this passage. This man also wanted change. John chapter 5, if we go down to verse 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. So it appears, according to this passage here, this, I don't know how long this man was here, but we can assume that he wanted to be healed. And supposedly, if he could get to the waters there, that he could be healed. But it never worked out. Someone always got in the way. And he didn't get the results he wanted. And Jesus came on the scene here. And Jesus said, Get up. Take your bed and walk. That's the message that Jesus has for us. We can stumble around in life and things never work out. Something gets in the way. Somebody gets in the way. And the timing is never right. Or we can listen to the voice of Jesus We can ask him to help us, to change our life. There's one thing that we're going to have to do. That is to stand up. Take up our bed and walk. And claim those promises and walk in newness of life. So, again, as we take inventory in our lives, we choose to take them in and to reconcile those things. Or we choose to ignore them and hope that we don't have to deal with them or deal with them later. So maybe we can stand and have prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we stand before you again this morning with thanksgiving. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we, as your people, as your children, we do want to take inventory of our lives. But we also confess at times that we're afraid to do that. Because we don't know what change looks like. We don't know what that always means. I pray, Lord, that you would work that out in our hearts and lives. Help us to be bold in coming to you. And Lord, that you would help us to experience healing where we need healing. Help us to stand up and walk and to claim your promises in our lives. And when the devil comes, Lord, that we would be willing and able to rebuke him and walk in you, Lord. Just thank you, Lord, for the things that you have taught us this morning. And we just want to bless you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.